broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for September the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? Welcome to the broadcast. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of yesterday's show. The broadcast is always available online for free, libertyroundtable.com, live and on demand, radio at your fingertips. But if you have the heart to help, if you believe we provide value, please reciprocate and donate to the broadcast. Every donation, every penny you give us will be used to grow our presence in the media. We have day jobs. We're not begging for your money personally, but we do know that it takes a lot of money in the media, and your help is absolutely appreciated, to say the least. libertyroundtable.com. This half hour is brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. localhoneyman.com on the internet. That's localhoneyman.com. Or you can call or text 801-669-2211 or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Ben Swan's Truth in Media podcast launched yesterday. That's kind of a cool news story. Good for Ben. Truth in Media, doing a good job. We appreciate him and his efforts. We need more of us in the media, not less, that's for sure. The Department of Justice declines to prosecute James Comey despite finding that he leaked information, violated his contract, violated the law, but of course there's no prosecution for the elite. Sad tale to tell. I guess Seattle can't clean human feces off of their sidewalks. I guess they say this Democrat councilman, Larry Gossett, claims that using the pressure washers, they're racist. They bring back images of when people were civil rights activists were attacked by these hoses and stuff like that, so it's racist. They don't know how they're going to clean up the streets there. That's absolutely psychotic, folks. We went through that. People have got to come to their senses here. Okay, why can't we stand together as Americans and say, look, we're going to keep our communities clean. We're going to work together. We're going to jettison the past, set it aside, move ahead. That's what we need to do, folks. Forgive, move on. But that's not allowed in today's divisionary reality, is it? It is for those who are honest and true and faithful. Anonymous donor gifts $25 million to Children's Hospital, Dateline Los Angeles. That's phenomenal news. We hope it's used wisely and carefully, and we hope it makes a big difference. Teens push woman's broken car 5 miles to her home. CNN with this story. It's a good news piece, and we're glad about it. Good for the teens, good for the woman, good for CNN. We just got to have more of it, don't we? We talked about how a 93-year-old couple created a legacy of love, doing a great job. We need more of that, too. We talked about a poor man who spent 82 days in jail on meth charges. Turns out the meth wasn't meth at all. It was actually honey. That's scary if you're Kirk Crosby and you're a, quote, honey dealer, huh? Wow. All I can tell you is raw honey is good for you, folks. Get yours today. localhoneyman.com or 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. We talked about ex-Arizona lawman, that's, of course, Joe Arpaio, seeks to reclaim Mantle as America's toughest sheriff. I hope he's successful in that bid. Appeals judge shot dead behind home. That's a tragic story. We can't trust the fake news to cover 2020. That's a truism, isn't it? A lot of conservative folks are saying we can't trust the news for 2020. I agree with them, but you know what? The fake news folks have every right to say and think what they want, fake or not. It doesn't say you have the right to your free speech as long as we determine that your speech is not fake or peddling a fake point or a fake idea. There's the problem, folks. You got to decide who you trust in the media, and you got to go to them, and you got to fund them and support them, especially if they're tiny like we are. All right, second hour, we had our guest on, Mr. Patrick Simmons, National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Righttowork.org is their website. And we talked about the leader of his organization, Mark Mix, standing up the big labor on Labor Day. National Right to Work president, that's Mark Mix, urges voluntary, not coercive unionism on Labor Day 2019. Amen to that. We talked about America must do more to protect the dignity of every American worker against the injustices of compulsory unionisms. See, the issue is forced. I have no problem with free association. I have no problem with folks getting together to bargain for a better deal. No problem. It's the forced unionism, the forced dues, the laws that protect the unions above the individual that I have a problem with. Sam literally covers a regional AT&T strike covering 9 states. I was on scene in Alabama, got the scoop, played it for Patrick Simmons, got both sides of the story. We did a much better job than, as far as I could tell, anybody in the media on this thing, huh? Yeah. We also asked the question, will interviews with federal agents soon be required to keep your firearms? They're working on bills to do just this behind the scenes, the Republicans, the Democrats, the president. It's an absolute travesty, a shame to say the least. Mike Pence, the Bible stays at VA hospitals. I guess they're facing a lawsuit. Mike Pence says we will always respect the freedom of religion for every veteran with every faith. Amen. Good work, Mike Pence, and good work standing for the Bible and the freedom of choice to choose it or not, right? A man, a poor guy, spent 36 years behind bars. Why? Because he stole $50. They say they've been just praying and trusting in God that this day would come. Obviously, stealing $50 is not good, but does the crime match the sentence, the penalty? 36 years for stealing $50? They should have basically fined the guy $50. They should have made him pay back $50. And then they should have went ahead and had him do community service, and he should have been free. We really work hard to free innocents in prison. TheFreedomCoalition.com if you want to check out our efforts in that regard. This is just out of control. Union bosses fear workers will stick with Donald Trump. They say it's a serious problem. My response is, why is it a serious problem? If the workers want to stay with Trump, maybe the unions should do what the workers want. Imagine that. I thought that's what a union was supposed to be, huh? Joe Biden vows to be champion for unions, but he's worked forever to offshore their jobs. How does that all work? Well, the answer is, it's all fake news. Honesty is the issue. All right, we talked about this incredible article written by Penny Starr. Donald Trump is right about mental illness and mass shootings. That, you know what? People have mental illness. We need to get them help for their mental illness, but it doesn't mean we need to take away guns from the good guys. And understand that most of the laws will not stop people who break the law in the first place. Donald's right about all that. I just hope Donald can stick to his, pardon the pun, guns. Trump's tightened labor market wins dream job for disabled Americans. That's a good news piece. You know, there's a lot of jobs out there. That's great news. If we could just reduce taxes now, just reduce regulations, just reduce our spending in the nation so we can reduce our deficit and our debt, that'd be phenomenal, wouldn't it? We talked about the final story of good news. The Cajun Navy gearing up to respond to Hurricane Dorian. And the Cajun Navy isn't really the military, folks. It's just a nickname of good people that have boats that are really, many of them are former law enforcement people, former military people, but they have boats and they live in the South and they jump to the aid of their countrymen when necessary. And so they're literally rescuing people and helping people and getting people places they need to be. Just a phenomenal job of we the people don't need to always turn to government. We can turn to ourselves and to each other and work together and make a big difference. Anyway, the Cajun Navy doing a phenomenal job there. Commend them. Appreciate their hard work and efforts. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is available online at libertyroundtable.com. It is free as well. Without further ado, News the Networks Refuse to Use starts now. Kurt Cosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You know how I've told you, Kurt, that if you haven't been hacked, you will be? You remember how I tell you that?
I've heard that, yeah.
And I tell you that even the Pentagon can't prevent from getting hacked, and even the big media people can't prevent from getting hacked, and the government, nobody can prevent it, Kurt.
Well, it's computer, right, Sam?
That's correct. And when they're connected to the internet, if there's a will, there's a way. You heard phrases like that, right? Anyway, the reason I bring this up now is because poor old Jack Dorsey, that's the CEO of Twitter, right? I guess somebody hacked his account, Kurt, got in there, and they say that his account was compromised, and they started posting racial slurs on his account, so they had to shut that dude down, Kurt. Poor old Jack, huh?
Man, Yeah, maybe he ought to update his software or something.
Yeah, good point. What I find fascinating about this, Jack, were you using two-factor authentication, buddy? And if they hacked that, then what's up? What, Jack, what's going on, man? And what I find interesting is how come if bad tweets come from somebody else, they're like, oh, you're a bad guy. But if bad tweets come from Jack, they're like, oh, my account was compromised. So was it really compromised? And by who? And do they have any ability to trace it? Does your platform have the ability to find out who hacked you there, Jack? And if not, what gives of that? So I find that a very interesting story when Jack Dorsey's account got hacked. You know, they say what's funny, too, is why racial slurs? Of all the things that you would hack Jack's account for, I mean, you know that it would be short-lived and shut down. You know, why racial slurs? Do you really think that it was hacked to post racial slurs, Kurt? See, I'm not even buying the whole story.
It's a good question, Sam.
Really, I want to post racial slurs so bad on Jack Dorsey's CEO's account that I'm just going to hack that sucker, and I'm going to post about, you know, whatever, 20 racial slurs. Then the news is going to come out that it was hacked, and my access is taken away. And is that what they really did, Kurt? You buying all that? I'm not.
It's a good story, Sam.
It's kind of like they, you know, it was a botched robbery, even though they didn't take anything story. Wow. All right, we got a lot of hard-hitting news straight ahead, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby with me. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that will preserve the vanishing resource of the American cowboy. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery that celebrates our history, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. You can order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt, on your radio. So I'm not buying this idea that Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey's account just got hacked. I don't believe it was compromised. They supposedly posted a few racial slurs, and then it got acknowledged or noticed and shut off and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just thinking, of all the hacking you could do, really? Did they really hack into Jack's account just to say, hey, gotcha, got him, got him, Jack? And then they just posted a couple of racial slurs, and then, hey, that was it. There's an agenda here, folks. I don't know what it is or who's behind it. I'm just saying I'm not buying the story. I'm disappointed in President Trump. Kurt, I want to get your take on this story. Headline from Russia Today says this. We will always have a presence. That's a quote from Donald. Trump says 8,600 troops will stay in Afghanistan. What do you think about a president that says we'll always have a presence, 8,600 troops in a single country, Afghanistan? We will always have them there, Kurt, always. I'm not comfortable with that at all, and I bet the folks in Afghanistan aren't either, Kurt. What do you think of that?
Well, like you, I at least I feel like we've got plenty to work on right here in America. You know, I just don't think that our military is supposed to be the policeman for the world. When we're, I don't know, $20+ trillion in debt, it just doesn't seem like, a smart move.
Constitutionally, I don't think the president has authority to make a claim like that at all, Kurt. Number one. Number two, I don't know where the funding is going to come from. As far as I understand, Congress is supposed to fund these operations. We're not supposed to have a standing army for more than 2 years at a time. The whole intent of the Founding Fathers was to get in, get the job done, and get out if it's necessary, and if Congress, quote, warrants it by the declaration of war, etc. But if we're in Afghanistan, 8,600 troops, and they're always going to be there, my question to Donald is this: how many other countries are we always going to be in, and how many troops will it take to have the always presence in how many ever other nations we're talking about here? What amount of troops does that really entail, and what kind of dollars does that cost to sustain? And I think there's some fundamental questions behind the scenes that need to really be asked about this, because we're talking about one country, Afghanistan. We're talking about 8,600 troops. They're always going to be there. Well, what if you times that by, say, 100? You know, 8,600 troops, Kurt, times 100. What's that?
Too many.
86,000? Or is it more? 800 and something thousand? What is it? 8,600 troops times 100. Right? I mean, it's a lot of troops, folks. And what kind of dollars does that take to sustain? And do these countries want us there, Kurt? I haven't heard anything from these folks to see if they want us there. Have you? By the way, it's 860,000 if you times 8,600 troops times 100 nations. Well, just so you know, folks, that number for me doesn't come up out of nowhere. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking, right now. I don't know if we have 8,600 troops in each one or not. I suspect we have more in some, less than others, or whatever else. But I'm just saying, look, we can't support 500,000 troops elsewhere. What about our own border? What about our own nation? What about protecting America, Kurt? Is that even in the mix? How many troops do we have in America defending America right now? Not training to go somewhere else, but literally their job is to defend our country, Kurt. Do you have any idea? I don't. But I know how many are in Afghanistan. Anyway, I'm really disappointed in a statement like that because it just shows how unfamiliar Donald is with the Constitution, Kurt, and unfamiliar with the Founding Fathers' direct charge to avoid foreign entanglements. Any other comments on this one, Kurt? A lot of troops.
Can't think of anything else to add, Sam.
All right, Amazon Smart Doorbell Company, Kurt, partners with 400-plus police departments to surveil your neighborhood. Now, are you caught up on this, Kurt?
Well, I understand that there's these doorbells that people put up, that basically, I guess they, when there's movement or whatever, they start videoing or, you know, that kind of thing. Is
that right?
Right?
Yeah, they start videoing, they open up a microphone, they literally connect that feed, if you will, to your cell phone or to an inside camera where people could see, etc. It starts recording video, and so Amazon bought a company that installs these doorbells, and so the Amazon's not the only one that distributes these kinds of things. Many others do as well. Vivint and many others. But nevertheless, the point is Amazon Smart Doorbell Company now partnering with 400-plus police departments to surveil your neighborhood. I guess it's a voluntary thing, Kurt. The problem becomes it's voluntary at first, but at some point it becomes not voluntary. Let me explain. What if a crime is committed, Kurt, and you have your doorbell up there and, you know, it was recording and you were kind of partnering, kind of not, and now they want to use it because, well, the neighbor next door got robbed, but you're the one with the video, Kurt. And they came to your house first, but they tried a couple of doors or windows or whatever. It didn't work, and they moved to the next house or whatever else. They want to now use your video, Kurt, whether you want them to or not. And that's the debate here. How much are we going to surveil neighborhoods? How much can the private sector be involved with the police officers with video that's, I don't know what you call to it. Whose video is it, Kurt? Who has access to the video? Who can use it? Amazon's got copies because it's stored on cloud servers. The individual who owns the doorbell that is put up that does survey as, but do the cops and do the third party. And anyway, they're becoming these great neighborhood watch futuristic kind of a thing, Kurt. And I'm concerned when over 400 police departments have already jumped aboard. This isn't something so tiny that, oh, a couple of people are trying this, Kurt. This is surveillance 24/7 everywhere you go. And it's very, very scary indeed. But I didn't realize that they've already partnered with over 400 police departments nationwide and growing as we speak. And you may be involved in it whether you like it or not, even if you have a doorbell or not, because your neighbor's door, if it's across the street, might have a camera that faces your way, Kurt, too. What are you going to do about that? So it's a very sticky situation. The bottom line is, I'm not really for regulation, but I am saying the laws of our nation have not kept up with the technology implementation, Kurt. Any comment on that one?
Well, here's what the, at least the insiders, the big government types would say. Well, if you don't, I mean, if you're not doing anything bad, you wouldn't have anything to hide. But, you know, the thing is, it just seems like as we get more and more of these cameras, Sam, the only thing that's amazing to me is every time there's something bad that happens, especially with the bad guys like the Clintons or whatever, there never seems to be any video of it. You know, like the Epstein thing, they gotta have had cameras everywhere around the prison, but seems like they just weren't operational for that, you know, the opportune moment.
Yeah, maybe they need to upgrade to an Amazon camera that's tied into the government police department so they can get it done properly, you know? I don't know. You're right. And it's a very interesting double standard disparity going on here. And it happens over and over and over and over, right? What I find interesting, though, is they say if you're doing nothing wrong. Well, define nothing wrong. Let's say that me and you have a debate about global warming, Kurt, and I'm against global warming. I say it's bogus. I don't believe it. Nothing but a government control mechanism. It's a way to use the environment to gain control over the citizens and create a tyranny or whatever I say. Now, that's recorded, and then they decide that wasn't really the reason that they got the video of me on my front porch or me somewhere. But nevertheless, it's a side thing, and they talked about, hey, the global warming deniers ought to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, Kurt. Where do we go there? That's an extreme example, maybe, but it highlights the concern. At what point, I mean, if you're talking about God, Kurt, on your porch and the neighbor across the street records you talking about God on your porch, or maybe you're just off your porch, you're getting your mail, so you're standing in the street, so it's not even your property. Now you're talking about God on government property, Kurt. Are you going to be allowed to do that freely, openly? You know, those are the concerns. And all I'm telling you is that it gets sticky fast. Because the problem is we don't really have a handle on when what is done by whom. In other words, the laws don't keep up, so there's not even appropriate guidelines that relate to this stuff to know what would be the case. You'd have to go to court. The judge would have to define terms. It depends on who's got the most money and the best attorneys. When there's not case law or precedent already set and or guidelines to follow, then it's kind of make it up as you go. And right now, that's the territory we're in because the laws haven't kept up with the technology implementations. So that's very scary indeed. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that one up because it's interesting. More and more people aren't really thinking about the consequences of this. They're just buying these doorbells and installing them left and right and partnering, maybe unknowingly oftentimes, with police departments. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against the police department or the sheriff, and I'm not against maybe partnering with him on my own terms. But the question becomes, who's partnering with these police departments? Is it Amazon on my behalf? How do those contracts work? If I install a doorbell and I'm not caught up, am I a third party not included in the contract? Did I agree to the, quote, terms by installation without realizing it? I mean, where does all this go is the real question. Scary indeed. Quick pause. The media is freaking out. We'll tell you about it in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Several days of being pounded and poured on by Hurricane Dorian, taking a devastating toll on the Bahamas. More than a half dozen people confirmed dead. The Prime Minister says that number may still rise. The storm currently lashing the east coast of Florida, and it could still make landfall, perhaps in the Carolinas, in another day or two. The acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Kevin McAleenan, says they're ready.
And we've got a ton of assets, supplies and resources, shelters, all standing by for any impacts from the storm along that coastline.
He spoke on Fox News. Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, has fully withdrawn the extradition bill that sparked 3 months of protests. Lam announcing the withdrawal in a video statement, the bill would have allowed extraditions to mainland China, where courts are controlled by the Communist Party. This is USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Facebook is expanding its new local alert tool nationally by the end of the year. Local alerts enables local governments and first responders to communicate urgent information when it directly affects people in their community or requires them to take action, such as road closures, blackouts, or natural disasters. Jimmy O'Keefe is the product marketing manager at Facebook.
When authorities mark posts as local alerts, Facebook greatly amplifies their reach so that people living in an affected community are more likely to see them. Facebook sends notifications to people living in the affected area and also shows that information on Today In, a new place on Facebook for local news, community information, and conversations between neighbors.
Over the past year, information officers from over 350 local governments have used local alerts in a range of everyday emergencies, including flash flood warnings, mandatory evacuations, and 911 outages. For more, visit facebook.com/help/publisher/local alerts.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he doesn't want to bring any bills concerning guns to the Senate floor if President Trump would only be vetoing them anyway. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
The Majority Leader says he's essentially waiting on the President. He says he expects an answer next week about what the President supports before he agrees to bring a bill before the full Senate for a vote. House Democrats passed a background check bill several months ago and are expected to vote on additional bills next week. The Senate is scheduled to return to Washington September 9th.
Federal investigators say they're 100% confident they'll figure out why a California diving boat caught fire early Monday, killing dozens of people. Yesterday, NTSB members said that the agency has 16 investigators on site, and they're interviewing surviving crew members, companies involved in the boat charter, and first responders. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Kurt, the mainstream press, they've been using a tactic for quite some time against conservatives and constitutionalists and gun rights activists and et cetera, et cetera. And what they do is they attack us by attacking our money. Let's say you do a podcast and you use YouTube and you get sponsorship from Google or whatever else. And, you know, you run their ads and then, you know, you partner in the cash. They've been, you know, basically reducing that cash and taking the money away and playing games with numbers and. They've been manipulating things for a long time, and they've also been attacking conservatives relentlessly by doxing them. And what that means is you get their personal information and you release it and whatever to try to, you know, let the bullies begin, so to speak, et cetera, et cetera. And the mainstream press has been doing this for quite some time against conservatives in many ways. And now mainstream media cries foul over conservatives turning their smear campaign tactics, the culture war, against them. So now there's a loose network of conservatives that are Donald Trump supporters that are now starting to dig into the profiles of and the personal information of a lot of these mainstream newsmakers on the liberal side or the extreme side, the fake news side, whatever. And they're starting to dox them and out them and find out who they really are, and et cetera. It's a pretty interesting tidbit. Kurt, are you caught up on that?
A little bit. I've seen some of the headlines and read some of the stuff, it's amazing to me. I suppose those people who this is aimed at will, think it's unfair. And yet, I guess the phrase, what's good for the goose, comes to mind.
Certainly but, applies, yes, sir.
You know, it's just interesting to see it. And, you know, it's a big division, it seems like. But as you've always said, he who owns the media makes the rules. These people that want to control us, the insiders, the kingmen, the, I don't know, the elites, world, you know, government types, seem to have their buddies. And those of us who oppose that, well, we just, at least it's nice to have a little bit of support, you know?
Yeah, and the problem with the whole discussion, Kurt, that I can see is, you know, where is the fine line? In other words, where is it appropriate for me to dig and know enough about some of these people to expose who they really are? In other words, you want the honesty is the issue discussion. But then when is it that I'm doxing them and or doing things that could put them in harm's way? In other words, I think there's a fine line there. And I think that the liberals and the extremists and fake news and the mainstream press have crossed this line often. But is it right that these conservatives, this loose network of conservatives, start literally going after these people and exposing them and doxing them? Where's the line? And I could tell you my thought on this, but I wanted to get your take first. Any thought on that one, Kurt?
Where's the line? Well, it seems like, like lately you've seen some of these reports when I think it's Veritas, if I remember right, you know, have been doing some of these undercover reports where they'll send somebody in to, say, Planned Parenthood or whatever, and they get, some pretty revealing information. I guess you could say most of the time the real digging and news type stories that we think of in the past are just kind of gone most of the time. It seems like all you hear is this, so-and-so calls a news conference and they release some information and you just regurgitate what they've said. And I appreciate those in-depth details. Like, let's say they do some studies and find out that there really are, connections that you can document between, say, CNN and George Soros crowd or whatever. Will be pretty interesting details. Now, the thing is, most people that get their media or get their daily news download, are going to miss that simply because, they're just not connected to the right sources, I think.
I think you're right on some of that, Kurt. But I want to talk about a little bit about how this kind of works, or the fine line. I think there's a way to create a fine line, Kurt. And I think that a lot of times there's ways they've done it in the past that now they've jettisoned as the problem. So, for example, you know, it's always been said that whenever there's a politician, you can beat up the politician all you want, but you know what? Leave their kids and their spouse that may not be political out of it, right? And that's been common. And Glenn Beck blurred that line when he attacked Barack's children. Okay, making fun of them back in the day when there was an ocean oil leak or whatever. And, you know, the whole daddy and Glenn Beck mocked Barack's daughters or whatever for that and Barack. I think it's out of line to do that. To cross into somebody's family is out of line. And, you know, you could say, well, this is a war, Sam, and there are no rules in a war. You just do whatever you do. And my response is not in a civil society. All right, you don't need to attack my daughters that are young or my sons that are young that aren't involved in this at all if you disagree with me. Okay, so that's one line when it's crossed. Another line when it's crossed is when you literally peddle fake news. It's not opinion news, it's fake news. And let me give you an example to make the point. Apologies are not enough, says the headline. Eric Trump threatens to sue MSNBC and host over Russian smear. So the host got loose lips, Kurt, and said that Donald Trump, you know, got all this stuff done with billionaire loans from Russians and that there's this big tie to Russia. And, well, Eric Trump is saying it's a lie. It isn't true. And I'm going to sue you. And then the host apologized and said, oh, my gosh, I kind of went a little too far there. Didn't mean to. So sorry, Eric. And Eric's saying, you know what? These apologies are not enough anymore. And I happen to agree. Okay, it wasn't a well-researched, documented story. What it was a smear attack. And if Eric Trump didn't stand up so boldly in your face, then the host would have got away with it. And this is what happens all the time, Kurt. So when you aren't, there's opinion and there's fact. And when you blatantly peddle a story without proof, look, James Comey and crew tried to find Russian connections to the Donald, what, for a couple of years, Curtin? And they came back empty-handed. Now this host just simply says, oh, Russian loans tied to the Donald and Donald's family. And Eric's going, this isn't true. And so I think when you attack somebody's family who are innocents that are not involved, then you've gone too far. When you literally don't have the facts on your side, you've gone too far. You've gone too far. And so I think we need to be very careful when we talk about fake news. There's fact and there's opinion. And I think we need to be very, very, very careful when we peddle fact as opinion or opinion as fact. Right? And why do I say it both ways? Because, well, then what they say is, well, it's an alternate set of facts, Kurt. Okay? That, to me, is not acceptable. Okay? Now, there's a headline, for example, on Right Wing Watch right now, Kurt, and it says this. Chris McDonald and Mark Taylor agree that Hurricane Dorian is a false flag. Kyle Mantilla writes the piece. Okay? Now, I would have to get these guys on the radio to know what they really think. If Chris McDonald and Mark Taylor agree with this, I don't know. But this is an example where, hey, I think that Chris and Mark are entitled to their own beliefs, true or not. In other words, if Chris and Mark believe that it's a false flag, they have every right to think that, whether it's true or not. That's my take, okay? However, when Kyle Mantilla writes this stuff on last night's episode of his, the McFiles program, they say radical, conspiracy theorist and his guest, fellow radical, right-wing conspiracy theorist and so-called firefighter prophet Mark Taylor agree that Hurricane Dorian is a false flag by the deep state, supposedly in order to distract Americans from the fact that former FBI informant James Comey and other high-level members of the Obama administration will all be going to prison. In other words, so they go on, and he makes this big old long tie. And my problem with this is if you listen to this broadcast that Chris McDonald and Mark Taylor did, Kurt, I don't think it's exactly like this article portrays it to be. Now, they may think it was a false flag. They may say there's a lot of cover-up of things. But it's going to be really hard for Kyle Mantilla to prove this link exactly like they're saying, especially when you mock them as conspiracy theorists, right-wing nutcases, and then, hey, this, here's their thoughts. Quick pause. Let's talk about it. Sam and Kurt in seconds.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, so here's what I'm talking about. TV host Chris McDonald and his guest Mark Taylor agreed on air, supposedly, that Hurricane Dorian is a false flag. Kyle Mantilla. Now, Kyle Mantilla's with Right Wing Watch. And attacking these guys for their beliefs, saying they're conspiracy nuts, they're crazy, they lack credibility, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it's okay if Chris and Mark believe that it was a false flag, that it was a cover-up to prevent James Comey and others from going to jail. They have that right to believe that. This is the First Amendment. They can think and feel and believe and say what they want. It's also true that, you know what? Kyle Mantilla on Right Wing Watch can say what he wants to say, too, that I think these guys are crazy, nutcases. But those are both opinions. Okay, the problem that I have is that the Right Wing Watch folks created an absolute assault on Chris McDonald and Mark Taylor. Okay, because the headline says Chris McDonald and Mark Taylor agree that Hurricane Dorian is a false flag. Okay, that may be true. Chris may say, you're right, I think it is a false flag. I did say that. That's not the problem. But when you merge your opinion in and start talking about conspiracy theory, at what point do you erode the credibility of someone? At what point do you take facts and then manipulate those facts merged with your opinion to the point where you literally assault verbally, or socially, or whatever, somebody. Okay? So, I don't have a problem with Kyle Mantilla saying, hey, these guys think this. They're crazy. I think they're nuts. That's fine. But when you look at the article, it basically says, hey, conspiracy theorists, it literally attacks the credibility of these people and manipulates truth with fiction. And so, I really, shame on Right Wing Watch for this. It's not shame on them for having their own opinion on it. That's free speech. But when they start to assault the characters of those people, right? For example, they've said oftentimes, you know, hey, I'm a white supremacist radio show. That is an absolute dishonest lie. Liberty Roundtable Live is not a white supremacist radio show. It is not the truth. It's a lie. I'm the one on the radio all the time that says, hey, I don't care what color you are. I agree with Martin Luther King Jr. that we want to look at the content of somebody's character. I don't believe Martin Luther King Jr. was genuine about that, meaning he didn't live his life as he spoke. The I Have a Dream speech and the concepts in his language were great, but the reality and how he lived his life was a disaster. Go ask the FBI if you wonder what I'm talking about. But I bring this up because they've assaulted me like this. And I bring this up because they literally said my good friend James Edwards, who does believe in advocacy for the white race, but he doesn't wish any harm to anybody else. They literally said in a Detroit, Michigan paper, that he was a leader of the KKK. James sued over it, and the court came back and said it doesn't matter the truth. It's the company James keeps that's bad news. It's Aesop's fable. The company you keep condemns you by guilt, you know, guilt by association. So they literally got away with saying James Edwards was a leader of the KKK. Well, not only is he not a leader of the KKK, he's never even been a member of the KKK. But this is where the battle continues, Kurt, and I bring this up because everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody has free speech. But when does free speech cross the line into libel and slander? And in my open letter to Donald Trump, it highlighted a lot of this. But Chris McDonald and Mark Taylor agreed that Hurricane Dorian was a false flag operation to distract. What do you think, Kurt? Do you agree with that?
I thought that on the false flag operation, you had to basically set something up that would, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you set up a hurricane.
Well, I don't know either, but some claim it can be done.
That's right. And at least if you're going to say that you get a complicit media that just harps on that one story over and over and over and takes the, most Americans, I guess you could say the front pages off of, say, the Comey story, then I'm agreeing that.
So let me make that a little more clear to make your point, Kirk, because you've hit on to something I think really important to understand. So you may not agree that the government created the hurricane, but Mark and those guys might think that, right? You're saying, though, they're certainly, when the hurricane happens, they're certainly using it for the purposes that Chris and Mark are talking about. In other words, you're saying there's two levels to this. One is to say that they created it for this purpose. The other one is to say, well, they may not have created the hurricane, but they might be using it for this purpose, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's a useful tool to get people's minds on something else.
So here's the point. There's levels of that belief. At what point do you become a conspiracy theorist, a nut, a lack of credible, you think you're like a prophet? They talk about this other guy, Mark Taylor, that he's like a prophet of doom and gloom or whatever. At what point do you go down that road? And I don't know if they can literally control hurricanes. I know there's been all kinds of attempts by government at weather modification in the past, Kurt. And I think they have varying degrees of success in weather modification, right? But I don't know if this was literally created by the government to create a false flag to distract over Comey. See, that's the other problem. Even if you believe that the government created it or not, or whether they are using it to distract or not, then the question is, what are they distracting from? Is it really Comey? Or is it gun control? Or is it the Jeffrey Epstein case? Or is it the Hillary Clinton email case? I mean, I don't even know what they would be distracting from, but there's opinions about what the distraction would be for, too, right? And so the point is, there's views and opinions all over the map on this discussion. Okay, and I'll tell you where I stand in just a second. But should people be abused for those views? I think anybody can say what they want, and they can disagree all they want to. But when you cross the line into libel and slander, and you start to attack someone's character without the facts, just because you have a different opinion than they do, that's when you have a problem. What this Kyle Mantilla over at Right Wing Watch should be doing, if he was an honest journalist, Kurt, would be to say to Chris and Mark, Chris McDonald and Mark Taylor, hey, you guys are saying that this is a false flag operation, and the goal is to distract from James Comey. What I'd like you to do is show me the evidence that you have for that, please. Okay, I'd like to see the evidence for which you get your claim. I think that's a fair request from anybody to Mark and Chris, if that's what they're saying. Okay, I don't have any problem saying, hey, show me the evidence. If you're making a claim like that, let's see what you've got. And I've had people do that to me quite often on the radio. Kurt, I bring up a story, and they're like, I haven't seen that story in the news. Where'd you get it? And then I'll give them five or six sources of where I got it from. And I'll explain, hey, this is what is being said or whatever. I don't have any problem with Kyle Mantilla disagreeing with Mark and Chris. I don't have any problem with saying, I think you're goofy and you're nutty. I don't believe, I think you're just jumping to conclusions here. And I don't have any problem asking for the evidence. What I have a problem with is making claims that are blatantly false, whether it be, that Chris and Mark are nothing but conspiracy theory, nut, creepo, crazies, psychotic without credibility. That's bordering on the libel slander stuff. The idea that James Edwards, for example, is the leader of the KKK is absolutely blatantly, patently false. Okay, saying that this is a white supremacist radio show is an absolute, complete lie. I'm the one that's saying we're all God's children and we got to act like it. God loves us all. He doesn't care about race. He, we're created in his image. He doesn't say except for white people or except for black people or except for Asians, or he doesn't do any of that. He says we are created in the image of God and we are his offspring. That's in the Bible. And he loves us and he wants us to keep his commandments. And if we keep his commandments, we'll be blessed. That's for everybody, Kurt. And I maintain that on this radio program. And I don't see how that would be a white supremacist show of any kind. To suggest so is an absolute blatant lie. Well, the same thing's true with this situation with poor Eric Trump and the Trump family. MSNBC literally said that, hey, Donald Trump got billions of dollars of Russian loans. And so I would come back and not attack the MSNBC host either. He's entitled to his opinion. But if we're going to talk about facts, I would come back to the MSNBC host and say, I want to see your evidence. If you're making a claim like that and you want credibility in journalism, where is your evidence that suggests that? And so I think we need to separate fact from fiction. I think we need to separate opinion from fact. And I think we need to ask people to document what they're talking about. And if you don't like the evidence given, then you can say, I don't believe that's hard enough evidence. That, again, they debate that in a court of law all the time. But I think it's really important to understand that. The last story I want to get into this hour, Kurt, before the end of the hour, headline says this. U.S. unleashes military to fight fake news and disinformation. Kurt?
Well, yeah, I at least... I don't think this is the first time that this has been going on, Sam, but it is interesting that it'd be a story, that there'd be a story about it, saying that, hey, kind of like, you know, you can work in the Navy, you can work in the Army, you can work in the Coast Guard, or you can work in the, is this the News Guard? I don't know. Yeah, they're saying that, you've basically got this new area where you could serve. It's not like the Cajun Navy or something. This would be a job in the government to basically, I guess you go on to Facebook and you put things on there that are right instead of things that aren't. I don't know. It just seems like it's a war of information that
yes it is.
It just depends on who's in charge.
And we've been peddling a propaganda war in other nations, Kurt, for a long time, and in America for a long time, right? And the U.S. government has been guilty of that for a long time.
We've had what's called Voice of America, and then you got NPR,
America Free this or that around the world,
yeah.
Right.
This isn't really too much new. It's dealing more, I think, with the online kind of stuff, I suppose. But that sure affects a lot of other things, don't you think?
Yes, and I'm concerned when the U.S. unleashes the military to fight fake news and disinformation. The biggest reason that I'm concerned about that, Kurt, is I've documented 66 ways from Sunday on this program that the military got in bed with big tech. Literally in the 1940s and 50s, and they've been involved ever since to manipulate the public's opinion and belief. So this is a blatant reference to the fact that they're already involved and they're going to increase their involvement. You know, when the U.S. unleashes the military to fight fake news and disinformation, I don't have a problem with getting rid of fake news. What I have a problem with is who decides what's fake news and not.
Yep.
All right. So InfoWars is in the news. You mentioned it's a big old InfoWar, but InfoWars loses appeal in Sandy Hook defamation lawsuit. Did you see that?
No.
So Alex and crew lost their appeal there.
If you get the right judge, you're going to lose or win. It just kind of depends on...
Yeah, now sadly, I do think that, again, Alex Jones went too far, though. He started making opinion fact and pretending his opinion were facts. And when people called him on the, where's your evidence, where's the documentation showing what you're claiming, he went too far about a lot of that. Sandy Hook, whatever you believe about that tragedy, it was a horrible tragedy. I don't know if it was a false flag operation or not. I don't have the resources to research all these, Kurt. I have my opinions that the story is not what we were told. That the story is different than we're being told. Some pieces of it are being covered up. But you need to be very careful when you go so far to make these claims that you cannot document, that you can't substantiate. And so we need to be very, very careful of the news. And Liberty Roundtable Live tries really hard to strike a balance between bringing up news that matters, bringing up potentials of things, but clearly denoting when it's our opinion on things. I don't trust what happened at 9/11 or Oklahoma City bombing or half these events. I don't trust what they claim happened to Seth Rich. But I don't know the facts. I just know that I don't trust the official story. There's a big difference in questioning the official story versus putting fiction to facts. And I'm telling you, the mainstream press is getting a taste of their own medicine and they don't know what to do about it. Well, I don't think that we should stoop to their level, personally. I think we should just do our job, do a great job, document our work, and move forward and build on God, family, and country. God save the Republic of the United States of America.